we have presentations today?
I know.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm on my staff board, so it's.
Oh, okay.
There's no proclamation.
No proclamation presentation?
No.
Tell me, are you on?
Yes, sir.
You're all warmed up?
Yes.
All right. Good afternoon, it's 2:11 on February 11th. Call to order. All directors are present. And do the pledge allegiance. Cindy?
Honestly, thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a, adopt the agenda, make a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Before we do that, can I pull some stuff off the agenda?
Sure.
I'd like to pull item 5A, 1, and 2. I'd like to pull 5B, 2. 5D. 5D. And I'd like to pull 7E and F.
What do you mean by pulling them?
I'd like to pull them off the agenda and send them to the Finance Committee first.
Okay, you can talk about them then. You can't pull them.
Well, there's issues with them. We can talk about those if you want.
Yeah, you can talk about them and ask the board to send them to the Finance Committee. That is different than pulling them off the agenda.
Okay.
The other ones you pull are from the consent calendar.
Right. The other one that is going to be a non-issue that we can skip over is 7J, since I'm not going to be able to attend.
So you're no longer seeking that?
Correct, so we can.
So you can pull that from the agenda?
Pull that one from the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the intent on A1, 2, B2, 3? Are those doctors?
No, it's just the pull from the consent calendar.
Just consent, we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Okay, anybody else? Dane, fine? Consent calendar, any member of the public may contact the board member prior to the meeting to request that an item be pulled from the consent calendar.
Do you get into public forum?
Yeah, what is that? Oh, there it is, public forum, I'm sorry.
Adopt an agenda, so we still haven't adopted the agenda as revised, right?
I mean, I'm fine with those changes. You said E and F, and E and F, well, we're still talking about E and F, and then J is being actually pulled, and then your consent items are being pulled.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'll second it.
I'm fine with that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public forum, there we are.
Hi.
Say your name, please.
Stephen Dowd. Board. General Manager. Council. Operating Manager. Staff. And the people. Well, it's been 1 year since I've been asking for the board to work on the successive rate increase that has been put on the ratepayers in 2018 with a monumental 5-year increase plan. You came to your senses 13 months ago when you voted to freeze the rates for 12 months while you figured it out what to do. I kept reminding you that the clock was ticking and you better figure it out what is best for the ratepayers and to GPUD Water Agency. You sat on your hands and did nothing for one full year. Well, now it's time to make that hard decision. One, do we get to keep the rate freeze going indefinitely? Two, or do we take the Finance Committee's recommendation to keep the rate freeze intact until July 1st, 2020, to to give you more time to figure out if an increase of 5% is really necessary, or an increase of 2 to 3% would be more viable for GPUD and the customers. Back in 2017, you passed the ALT treatment plant 218, charged customers $30 bi-monthly, and immediately threw a second 218 to raise the rates for 5 years straight. This was a huge burden on the ratepayers to have to pay double in such a short period of time, when we're used to the $47 bi-monthly bill. I told you then that the customers will turn off the spigot, and they did. Irrigation dropped by 66 inches. That's a big loss. I suggest you fine-tune the rate increase and make the ratepayers happy.
Thank you. Anyone else? Your name, please.
Cherie Carlion. And I would like the board to ask the general manager to put the meeting minutes and tapes on the finance committee website, please. They've not been on there since July.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh,
go ahead,
sir. Appreciate that.
Ken Pauley, member of Finance Committee, also irrigation customer and treated water customer. As a member of the Finance Committee, I wanted to share that it's really great to see the level of interaction and collaboration that's occurring on the committee right now. It feels like we've got a great group of volunteers with a variety of viewpoints that will hopefully be a good resource for the board going forward, especially with budget planning on the horizon and if there were to be a new rate study completed in the future. I'd like to thank Director Saunders as the board liaison during his tenure as board treasurer, and look forward to working with Director Garcia in the same capacity. While the Finance Committee does operate as a formal committee, our conversations are typically a little less formally moderated, which I think encourages some interesting dialogue and engagement amongst the committee and the attending public. That said, I think it's an important reminder that there are opportunities on the agenda for public comment that should be used. The public is not a member of the committee, but members of the public can request to join the committee should they wish to participate in deeper conversations. It's also important to note that the board liaison is not a member of the committee as well. The board's resolution 2017-25 defines the roles and responsibilities for the finance committee, which explicitly states that the board liaison shall not be a regular, or ex officio member of the committee. I think these are important distinctions that the finance committee chair and the committee need to follow to ensure the conversations stay in line with the published agenda items. As a treated irrigation water customer, I will also say that I'm very interested in the stability and future of this water district. This is why I wanted to join the Finance Committee, so I can get a deeper understanding of the issues based on the data and not from rumors, hearsay, etc. It's been enlightening to say the least, especially the last meeting. We had a really good one. When it comes to the hard facts of ensuring that stability, much work needs to be done, and the district needs to be given the resources to execute on a huge list of projects ahead. Those resources include people and funding. The freeze can't continue forever. We need to face the truth and move forward instead of continuing to look backwards. You'll hear the output from the Finance Committee shortly in regards to the recommendations for that freeze. There was an excellent discussion around it, and I hope the board considers it seriously. If the recommendation is not accepted, as a customer, I encourage the board to lift the freeze. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Good afternoon. My name's Perry Wallace. I wanted to make the board aware. My wife and I have lived at 3010 Evergreen Court for a long time. We've been customers of GPUD. I want to bring your attention to an ongoing issue I'm having concerning GPUD billing practices. Since 2011, I have noticed inconsistent usage of water on my bills, and I don't mean, you know, from the winter to the summer. What I mean is from 2011, the same periods. And I get what I call a makeup bill, which is I attached my records here that show the lowest is in 2017, and nothing's changed. It shows I used 2 acre feet. And the most has been this last billing period. I brought it to the attention employees of GPUD and been told, well, it went through your meter sometime this year. So you owe the bill. I paid it in the past since 2011. However, this January I received a bill reflecting we used 22,211 acre feet of water in November and December of 2019. This is impossible as we weren't home from November 8th to 12/20 as I was in the hospital in Southern California. My wife was with me. Our house was empty. And all outside water was shut off. Our average water usage for the same period since 2011 has been 3,800 acre feet for November and December. I brought this to the attention of GPUD from billing staff to Daryl Creeks, who took it to his leadership and was again told, well, it went through your meter at some time. This is an unfair billing practice. I have proof that the meter is not being read consistently. I have covered the cement box with dirt, and it has not been cleaned off in several billing cycles throughout the years, off and on. I have spoken to several of your customers who experienced the very same frustrations. I have taken the following action. I will read my meter at the end of every even month and compare it to your readings. But I don't work for the water district. I have a job. I don't want to be out reading meters and arguing with you about what the rate is or what it isn't. I will advise you when the reading is off. I'm asking the board to get involved in these issues, and I'm asking for a fair resolution to my 2019 bill. I have attached our usage for 2011 through 2019. Thank you.
Thank you. If you can follow up on with us later on, yes, that would be appreciated. Anybody else? Public forum? Seeing none, we close that. We'll go on to the consent calendar. About the approval of the minutes, did you still, Cindy, did you want to talk about something on 5-1?
We need to go ahead and approve the ones that were pulled, so.
Yeah, start with the ones that were pulled.
I make a motion that we approve, that would be 5B1 and 5C.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. All ayes.
Okay. Do you need time, Kelly, to get who gets the first, who made the motion and who second?
No, I have that Michael and you just seconded. So you just want to do it that way going forward?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you and I
That's totally
before.
Great. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, we talked before about that. She's comfortable with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. It goes a little bit faster anyway.
Okay, we don't lose her.
Yeah. Okay, what we got now?
5A1.
Regular meeting of December 10th.
There's some typos, so it's still not correct. If I can point those out to you, Kelly?
Yep.
On page 3 of 14, this is for the December 10th. Second paragraph down under number 3, Stephen Dowd spells his name with a PH instead of a V.
I pronounce it with a V, though.
I'm sorry.
Christy McKay, right underneath that, spells it with a Y, not an I. The member of the public that commented was Bill Threlkill. It's Bill, common spelling, T-H-R-E-L-K-E-L.
T-H-R-E-L-K.
E-L.
Okay.
Threlkill.
Threlkill. Okay.
Okay. Let's see, I think there was. Page 8 of 14. Third from the bottom is Christy again, just with a Y instead of an I. I'm sorry, the third sentence from the bottom.
Oh, there we are. Okay.
From the bottom of the page, or 8.
Okay.
Page 10, under public comment. Mm-hmm. Second one down is, again, Christy with a Y.
Okay.
And we still have the issue that Carolyn Loomis has brought to our attention several times, where her Carolyn is still in here. And she's asked for that to be at least designated as not her, so we're not sure if it's O'Connor or who it might be. So that still needs to be somehow corrected. And the same with the next comment underneath. We have several Donnas in the community, Donna Siemens, Donna Cantrell. So if we could avoid this confusion in the future by putting up a name sheet so people can actually sign in, okay, that might really help you out.
Okay.
We can't require them to sign in.
We can ask,
and if they do it, maybe it would
and that's,
help.
I think that's why we're in the situation, is people aren't fully identifying themselves, so staff's doing the best job they can.
Okay.
We don't know who Donna is. That's all she stated.
Can we just change it to resident?
We can.
Or public.
Public.
Let's just change it to resident or public.
On both of those.
Is there any reason these spelling corrections couldn't be done outside this meeting? I mean, do we need a full meeting to make a spelling correction? Would be my question.
Well, it would be great if we got the packet ahead of time so there was more time, because...
I mean, it can be done before or after, but outside this meeting...
We can,
I really didn't come here to check somebody's spelling.
We can certainly try. Okay, that's all I have for 5A1, unless Director Saunders has anything.
Yeah, I have stuff for 5A1.
Okay.
The revision wasn't added back, so I don't know if you went through the tape.
Which revision?
Between where it's highlighted before, where I added that,
Which page are you looking at?
Page 3 of 14. Or 4 of 14. So it was the part where I had the revision where it was added into the minutes, where I put in that I asked for the written apology, and the last meeting, Director Wadley said he didn't believe I said that, to check the meeting recording.
Did you want me to comment on that, or?
You checked the recording, yeah?
I did check the recording, and based on what I listened to and wrote out, you did not ask for that.
Well, I have the recording here if you want to listen to it, because that's exactly what I asked.
I listened to it as well today, and like at 31:30, I think, is one, around 31 minutes. It says just what it says here.
What happened was...
Director Saunders clarified that the apology should not be included in Director Exercise's motion, and Director Garcia said the motion includes the apology letter.
What it reads in the minutes...
That's what I listened to.
In the minutes it reads that with Director Garcia, she would also like to request the September minutes remove the ethnics... Well, it should be ethnicity and gender, so that's misspelled. And she also requested that the board president and general manager submit a written apology to Director Saunders. But I had asked for that before that was added to the motion. So I asked for that separately.
Before that part of the meeting?
That is in between there. And I sent the revision.
I can listen to it again. You know, Kelly listened to it. I didn't listen to that part of it. I heard the part where the motion was made, and you specifically said, I'm sorry, just to contradict you here, but that's exactly what you said. You said the apology should not be included in Director Garcia's motion.
That was after, so what happened was the motion was made to remove the ethnicity and gender, and then I clarified that said that I'd like the motion to go back to as it was originally printed in the November minutes, and then I asked for a written apology at the time. And then after that, she added the apology. She amended her motion to add the apology to it, and then everything from there is correct.
Okay.
But in between.
And that's, we can go back and listen to, we'll bring it back again. We can listen to it again if the board wants.
So you did say that you wanted it written, and then you, and then Director Garcia said she wanted to modify her motion to include Director Saunders' request.
Mm-hmm.
Further,
but
she's,
nowhere in there does it say that I asked for a written apology. It doesn't have that in there. That's
your initial comments.
Correct.
Okay, and then you changed your motion to state that the apology did not need to be included in the motion.
That was her motion, correct.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't state that I asked for a written apology.
So somewhere in that second paragraph, there was a statement.
Okay.
And if you Kelly, did you hear that? I didn't listen to that part.
I gave it to you last time, and that was...
Right, I jumped just to get the motion correct, so I didn't listen to the entire discussion.
Yes, okay.
So
that's added in the package, so...
Yes, I can add that.
Can we get this done for the last time? I'm sorry to talk about
this. That's up to the board.
So without...
I know you are. I'm really tired of talking about this every month. It's getting very old. It is old. So if you want me to come in and listen to the tape and Mike, then let's set something up.
You guys want to approve it right now with those changes as directed, you can do that. And then, or we can bring it back again. You guys, either way. You guys can, we can do the changes. If Kelly confirms, she can confirm now that she did listen to that and that change is accurate. She can make those changes and then you want to see it again. Or you can direct us to bring it back again.
Are you comfortable with this?
Yep, I'm comfortable if we change it now.
Okay. Change it now and put it to bed.
Okay.
So you need a motion.
Need a motion to
accept the minutes as directed, the changes as directed.
Okay, I'll make that motion that 5A1 be accepted with those changes to the meeting minutes for December's meeting.
Second.
Let's take a roll call on this, please.
Director Halpin?
I want to abstain because I haven't paid any attention to any of this, so I don't have an opinion.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
And Director Wadley?
My preference is to bring it back before, again, so I'm going to vote no on this one.
Okay, motion carried.
Point of order, do we want to listen to it now so I don't have to bring it back again?
I think we didn't listen to the official recording.
It's already been adopted.
I love donuts. Okay. What do we got now?
582.
We're the meeting of January 14th, 2019.
Okay, just real quickly, Kelly, on page 5 of 12, under number C.
Okay.
I'd like you to go back and listen to the tape and clarify the notes, especially at timestamp 30, starts at 37.6 with David Halpin's motions, and then Director Saunders had some comments at 30.43. I had some comments at 31.10, and Director Souza had some comments at 37.36.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a lengthy discussion, and it needs to be clarified here, rather than board discuss the term and compensation of the agreement, because it has bearing on not only what happened at the rest of the meeting, but what we'll be discussing today.
Okay.
And then on page 9 of 12, the last paragraph, be right above F at the bottom of the page,
mm-hmm.
that was Christy McKay who made that unidentified person.
Okay.
That was Christy McKay, and that's all I have on those.
Okay.
You got a motion to accept the...
I have some.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I keep on... you got to raise your hand.
Yep, I know. It's like... page 10 of 12. So where it says, it's at the very top of that page.
Okay.
Where it says, Director Saunders deferred to Director Wadley for the appointment.
Yes.
If we could just add in there that I said, because he currently sits on the Eldorado LAFCO Commission, that was, we just defer, it was because I'm already on a county commission.
Okay.
So make a motion to accept it with those changes.
All in favor?
Before you guys vote, I mean, there was substantial comments being requested and added just by timestamp, and we don't know the content of those comments.
Oh,
as a board, you guys, so it's up to you guys as a board, I guess, if you wanted to do that. I was pointing out, we don't have knowledge of what those comments are.
Oh, okay. Want me briefly just expound on them here real quick?
That's up to the board if they want to do that.
Yeah, or bring them back.
Or bring them back.
Minutes.
Want to bring it back?
It's up to you. You got them written down right now?
I do.
Let's do it.
Okay. Obviously, the 3706 timestamp was exactly what Director Halpin said, so that's correct and accurate. On 3043, Director Saunders asked the question of the general manager that if the... Will the $24,750 compensation rate change or stay the same, or is it capped? And this is referring to the amount that would have been compensated to George Saunders, and the GM replied, no increase to paying George Saunders, to which Director Saunders said, so if we're out of money, does that mean he does not get paid? And the GM said, technically, yes. So that's going to have a bearing on that agenda item today. Then at 3110, I made the comment that we need a completion date, we need a punch list with project schedules, so that we can determine the work that will be done, and that should be the date in his contract. And we ask those changes to be made, and we bring it back to the February board meeting. And then at 3736, Director Souza agreed, but there was no second needed. Our legal counsel said, yes, that's true. We don't need to second on the motion that I made to make those changes and bring it back to the board. Because she said we were just directing staff. So that's the context of the changes that should be at least clarified. Because there was more information here that needs to be laid out and clarified than just the board discuss the terms and compensation of the amendment.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So on page 5, when you made your motion, I didn't hear a second. Was there a second to that?
No, okay. I'm sorry. The note you have here that says the motion was not seconded
right.
is accurate.
Okay, all right.
And that's where
you just want
Director Souza chimed in and said, agreed.
Okay. Right.
No second
okay.
of legal's
okay.
advice.
All right.
So, yeah, you got it, Kelly.
Okay.
Thank you. So with those changes, is it acceptable now to make a motion to approve these minutes with the changes so that we don't have to bring this back?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll make that motion that with the changes, we go ahead and accept the meeting minutes for January 14th with these changes. And
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
I'm opposed.
Okay. Aye. Motion carried. Financial reports. There it is. Go ahead.
So for 5B2, I got the general manager just to elaborate on some of the checks here. So the first one is 30644, which is on page 2, and it's Dennis Engineering Services. So just to discuss on what that check is for. That was the main canal one, I believe.
Yeah, that's going to be main canal reliability. They provided an engineering design and engineering support through construction.
So we basically started the work on that, and they've already go.
Yeah, that's the end. That's kind of the end of their contract. Once it goes off to construction, their role gets greatly diminished. Their November probably was to get us through the bid document phase, contract award. So the project itself is done now.
Mm-hmm.
What was your question?
Just to follow up on what that check was for, because we had a check from Bennett, so just to let the board know that was for the main canal breach of liability, and we have that process is done with their part of that engineering assessment for that part of the project. And then still with that project as well, we have check 30669 from Coastland Civil Engineering. And the same question.
Yeah, that's the 2018 main canal liability project. Coastland's providing the construction inspection and management of the contractor, the daily activities out there.
So they're going to manage that project?
So it's done. It's just basically done. Mm-hmm. It's done.
I understand that very well, too. I understand.
There are pictures and a little summary in my GM report today.
Okay, just Steve, I have a couple just real quick questions. Why do we have suddenly long distance at the treatment plants?
Is there a check number on here I can look at?
Yes, page 2, check 30663. And then there's another one on page 5, 30705, that are for long distance charges. 30705. No, I've just never noticed them before on the other monthly board packet materials, and so I'm just wondering, has something changed?
I don't have the invoices here in front of me. I don't.
Maybe the
Daryl's here. I don't know if he knows the answer off the top of his head.
Is that AT&T stuff? I know that Christina was trying to contact AT&T. I don't know about this, but I know that there was some weird things going on. Maybe that was it, because it doesn't make sense.
Maybe a plan change or something.
Yeah, is that at both plants?
One says Sweetwater.
And one says long distance utilities. So I'm not sure if that's Walton or somewhere else.
I don't know if it's one of the new lines. I don't know, honestly. I know that there's several lines at the new plant, and one of them is just internet, and there's several different things like that. I don't know about the long distance.
Got it. Okay. And Steve, just a quick clarifying. On page 4, the bottom, when we're talking about the U.S. bank charges on the credit card, if you look at some of the ADT security that are there, and then we have ADT security on page 5 as well for the same amounts, the same three charges, I'm just wondering, are we getting double charged, or did we write a check to pay the credit card?
U.S. Bank. I think we had them set up at some point. We transitioned to credit card payment. I don't know if it was related to startup. Where do you see that U.S. Bank one at?
Okay, it's at the bottom of page 4. There's three charges on here in the list of all these other charges to security at the Sweetwater plant. And then we're charged the same amounts on page 5 with check 30701.
Anyway, I'll have to look into those. I don't know off the top of my head without the invoices here to be able to tell you. I'm assuming they're different dates.
Okay.
Didn't we have a maintenance problem with the treatment plant at Balderson? It wasn't the cameras down? And it didn't.
That's different.
It was entirely different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. They're talking about ADT. That was something. I don't know exactly about all those, but they're billing the way that they've been talking. We've been begging to pay them, and we haven't paid. It's weird, but they wanted a certain code and all these things, and I told them, none of us have this code. Just please tell me what to do. I finally got to talk to a lady last week, and she was so helpful, and she told us what to do so we could start paying the bills. I mean, it was that hard.
Oh.
So
okay.
I don't know about that, but it was a nightmare just trying to pay these people.
Okay.
Well, please let us just pay you.
Okay. And Steve, I have another question about check 30729, but I can talk to you about that one later.
Okay.
So that's all I have. I'm just clarifying some of those charges.
Okay.
Okay.
So you ready for a motion?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and accept the monthly and cash balances, or distribution report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Did you get Michael in there?
Yep.
Okay.
I can hear him.
Oh, good.
Okay, 5C, Authorize and change of bank account.
That's done, we accepted that.
Oh, did you get that done?
Yeah.
D.
Oh.
D, actually.
Yeah, we went.
5B, we have
5D. Oh, we got 5D. Got it. Takes the lead on this.
Can we do a quick staff summary? You guys can just ask questions, whatever your preference. George, you wanna?
Yeah, we all know.
Yeah, notice the completion?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on 5.
5D.
And that's 7 or 10.
5D is, isn't it notice the completion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm in the wrong spot, please.
No, I am.
Okay, first of all, I don't mean to attempt to overpower what council knows about notices of completion, but when you look in the California law about notice of completion, they're normally filed at the end of a project, and it relates to, it sets definitive parameters of when liens can be filed against it. This particular project, we're currently still holding, as we said in this room, all the retention money. That consists of a little over $500,000. So once the notice of completion is filed, there are material suppliers, there are subcontractors, there are the contractor themselves. A lot of that stuff, they have 30 days once that notice is filed to file all their liens. I'm hounded continuously by the contractor. He wants to finish it, wants us to release the retention money, but we really can't move forward to this next stage without feeling comfortable that we don't have any liens out there that are setting. So that's the main reason that we want to file the notice of completion. Also, any public works project that, since I've been here, that the district has done, we've always filed them. It's just it's a great thing to do. It's talked about in our contract that we have with the contractor together with the specifications. It's clearly called out. This is a step to take now before we move into the final payment application that I expect to get from him. So if there's anything specific, I'd be happy to answer it. But from the legal standpoint, council can do a much better job as it relates to California law on the filing of notices of completion for public works projects.
George, I have some questions for you, if you don't mind.
No, not a problem.
Is any of the contractors still on site? Myers, Somas, NextGen, anybody else?
No, nobody's out there on a daily basis. Westech has been out there to do some additional training. That's all finished now. There's been some additional training on arc flash for our load bank unit. That's all taken place, but no, there's nobody out there working.
Okay. Are there any of the permit restrictions from State Water Resources Control Board's Drinking Water Division holding you from filing this notice? Any restrictions for completion?
No.
Okay, and do you have any idea when change order number 7 will be done and how much that might cost?
Change order number 7 is done and it's fully executed. I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but it was around $13,018, 13018.
Okay, great. That's good. It's nice that it's done. Okay. Do you have all of the project documents, the as-builts, and all the information, the documentation, the schedules, everything that you need for this project?
No, I don't. I'm still waiting for the final O&M manuals. Those will come from the contractor under the electrical part, which would be Central Sierra, which would be KBL that did all the SCADA programming. I've got the O&M manuals from Westech. They're the ones that provided the filters and had the PLC unit, so I've got all of that in my possession now.
Okay.
The O&M manuals were originally submitted for all the SCADA system, but they were preliminary. We made a multitude of changes after that to work out all the fine things, so I'm waiting for the final O&M manuals on that.
Okay. It looked like according to some of the limitations that were lined out in the draft authorization for the temporary permit to operate, that there were requirements for some of those manuals by a certain date, and some of those certain dates look like they were end of last year. What you did submit to them, was it sufficient so they're not waiting on the O&M manual?
I think Daryl can address that better. I don't know where we're at with regards to meeting every, there were a lot of
deadlines that were identified in the permit, and I know that Daryl and Adam are working with the state on that. They've got correspondence. Any time that we exceed those, for whatever reason, it's identified why we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's received everything that we can send him, and he hasn't said that it was one way or another.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, right?
No news is good news.
One thing I'd like to clarify, though, the manuals that we're referring to in that permit are different than the O&M manuals we get on the SCADA. The manuals that Steve has directed staff to work on, and I have reason to believe they're doing a great job at it, that being Daryl and Adam, are the operations manuals on how you operate that plant. In other words, where all the security system is, how you enter it, how you treat water, all of that. The O&M manuals I'm referring to are not those types of manuals. So these are manuals for the operation of the plant, which district staff is preparing.
Okay. Okay. Does it look like that's one of the first ones they wanted in here was the plant's operations manual?
Right, and we couldn't get it because it wasn't even finished yet.
Okay.
But he has it now.
Okay. Okay. And he hasn't said anything, so that's a good thing. Yes. Reviewing it, hopefully they like it. Okay. Okay. Just a couple more. Let's see. The other compliance measures done. Yes, you said yes, you complied with those. Let me catch up here. I noticed that one of the requirements in here that they wanted us to have was our own cross-connection control program, and they wanted that done by October 15th of 2019. Was that done as well? Because I know you said you were working on one for here for irrigation and for the rest of the system, but that one was done too as well?
Yep.
Okay, good.
It has it.
Okay. So that's a yes on that one. That's a yes on that one. I think that's all I have in all of these. So thank you, George. Yes, and that was a yes too because you mentioned that. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. You covered most of them that I had. Do we have any copies of waivers of warranty and warranty items in terms of years of warranty still with any of the contracting that was done?
What I'm waiting for right now on my final punch list item are all the warranties. I don't have those warranties. I've got a warranty from Westech that identifies their warranty period. I'm waiting for warranties on the buildings. I'm waiting for warranties from many of the other things like the major pumps and things of that nature. But that's a good reason that we have not released the retention money. We've got $500,000 and a whole series of things that the contractor needs to comply with before we will accept his final payment to release that retention money. And one of the things we're talking about today is the notice of completion. We need that time to start closing in. I don't want to be hounded to release some money 30 days from now when I haven't filed the notice and then I get a claim from a material supplier or something at a later date that we wouldn't have the money on reserve to pay.
So at this point, there's no contract items that need to be done on site?
No, I've got a series of punch list items. We work on them pretty much on a daily basis. I communicated back and forth with the contractor even today on resolving some of those. So it's an ongoing thing. It's painful for everybody. It's very painful for me. But it's something that just needs to be done.
Okay, there's one more question, George, if you don't mind me asking. Okay, so with this filing process, with this notice of completion, do you know the process steps for that, how long it takes, when it gets filed, how long you have to wait before you get a receipt back that it has been filed before this retention money can be loosed?
Well, first of all, the retention money, I don't mean to clutter the thought process with that. I did bring it up, but let's go back a little bit. If the board is favorable on filing the notice of completion, if they take that action today, I intend to file it tomorrow morning. It'll be too late by the time I get over there to file it with the County of El Dorado. So that's when we intend to file it, and that's when the period would begin. So it would be filed tomorrow morning if the board takes action on it and approves it. The retention money is different. The retention money is on reserve, which could cover some of these liens if they're filed, but I don't know if that answered all of your question.
It does, but what I'm concerned about is there's other paperwork that we have in our board packet that says once you file that notice of completion, there's a 30-day waiting period. So I'm just wondering what the process steps are. When and how does that 30-day waiting process happen? Is that 30 days is what it's going to take for you to finish your punch list? I mean, I'm trying to understand the process and why it would take 30 days.
Well, the 30-day part is based on California law, and it the subcontractors, the material suppliers, and the people that supplied equipment, after that notice is filed, which would be tomorrow, let's say it's filed at 9 o'clock, that's when the 30-day period would begin for that. And those particular people I named off have 30 days to file their liens once that's filed. So it would be 30 days after when that's filed, if it is in fact approved and filed tomorrow.
Okay. And then once those liens are filed, is that when the billing process can be finished so that the, out of that monies that are set aside, those liens can be paid?
Well, first of all, on the final bill, the contractor has to give us confirmation from each of these people that they have no liens. So we have that in our possession. That'll take place likely after that 30-day period there. So we've got what I would consider to be double coverage. We filed the notice of completion. It went through the 30-day period. And we've got the subcontractors that identify they have no liens. In other words, they've signed off on everything.
Okay. And you'll receive those sign-offs here? GPUD will receive those, so you'll know when those are done?
Well, yeah. We won't process their final payment request. An element of the final payment request will be a request from the contractor to get his retention money or a portion thereof. If he's not complied with elements of that, he'll have to give us those or we won't release it. It's all identified in the contract. Am I getting any of that mixed up, Steve and Barbara? Because
no.
I know you're very familiar. Barbara is with contract law and so is Steve. But I'm just trying to share with you what our specific contract documents have within them.
Okay. Oh. And then
the law. I mean, yeah. The notice of completion is all spelled out and legal.
Okay. And so you're comfortable, even though you're still waiting on some warranties and you're still waiting on some manuals, you're comfortable with calling this project 100% complete?
Yeah, I am. From a functional standpoint, the project is in fact done. I think if the district chose not to move forward either now or relatively soon, it could be viewed on the part of the contractor, what's up? You know, why are you holding this up? Be specific with me what you're holding it on. I don't feel comfortable holding it on the possibility of a lien or a potential lien. Can't really do that.
Okay. And are you comfortable holding it until your punch list is finished?
Yes. Well, I may not be comfortable with holding the entire amount, but certainly holding enough to cover the work identified on the punch list.
Okay.
I don't think it would be fair to hold the $500,000 if we're... The punch list has a lot of oddities in it. I mean, it might be humorous to some, but we've even got paint that needs to be supplied, touch-up paint.
Right.
We obviously wouldn't hold a substantial amount of money for things like that, so... What I want to share with you so we have clarity and it doesn't come up again what I may have said, there could be items on that punch list that aren't fully resolved at the time maybe a portion of the retention money was released. But no, it's not the intent of the district or any staff to release any more money than we feel comfortable with as it relates to what's completed. But from an operational standpoint, the plant has been functioning well for an extended period of time.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with it. It's been going and it's pretty well proven itself.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the clarity because it does help. Thank you.
Anything else? So I guess we're here where we approve this resolution to get this done.
My main concern was to make sure there were no contract items done and all the waivers, warranties, and items pending are all tied in with the lien, so until we get this final completion, we're not gonna hold off on those items anyway, so it requires our final completion to get this stuff in. So.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to clarify in that, Director Saunders, is the warranties won't be tied to the lien, they'll be tied to the final payment and releases, so
mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's stuff that we will have before we make a significant release of any money.
Okay. The other thing I'd like to see on the resolution is that we add the date, because we have kind of a hanging sentence here where we said the district and the project is deemed complete, but there's no completion date. We've got other dates in here which are important, where we proceeded to issue.
Sorry.
Got the contractor on board. We got the final inspection done. It would be nice if we added the date to show that the project was complete.
Good question.
I'd like to whereas right here we said it's deemed complete, but we don't have a date when we line out everything else. So just for clarity, I'd like to see us add the date.
I believe it should be today, because that's when the board is accepting. Right, Barbara, that'd be the date. I've always done that.
to date the board as of action, so
yeah,
today.
Yeah, stayed complete as of today.
If I can understand your wording, yeah, I can understand it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we go ahead and accept the notice of completion with the change to the resolution that we had the completion date.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Seeing none? Thank you, George.
Thank
yes,
you. Thank you.
I got a question.
When you say lien, what do you mean by that, and who do you expect could possibly put in a lien on this?
Well, as we said in this room, I don't expect anybody to file a lien on it. I expect the contractor to be forthright and have paid all of his subs. You could get a lien on a concrete supplier. You could get a lien on the people that put up the buildings. You could get a lien from the filter supplier. That was a big thing. You could get a lien from the electricians.
You don't know about it until it happens.
I don't know about it until it happens. Through the progression of the project, I've received preliminary lien notices, but as we stand in this room today, I don't have any final lien notices. Oftentimes, a preliminary lien notice will be filed. We'll get a copy of it because maybe the contractor is a few months behind in paying that particular sub. Oftentimes, if that sets in a static state for 2 months and they don't file the final, you know that he got paid. Or I can get on the phone and even converse with them. So.
I see.
But I don't know of any liens, I don't have in my possession any liens that have been filed on this project. Only a record of preliminary ones, and those are progressively as you move through it.
Good. I understand.
Okay. Motion passed. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Okay. Four items, we're going to 6A, board reports.
None here.
I'm sorry?
Board reports? I thought you were looking at me to give you a board report, now I'm going to say
oh.
I have none.
Okay.
Mine is quick, I just have the two upcoming meetings with all of the work groups and workshops I'm attending for the border legislation that's up and coming. So tomorrow is the landscape area measurement project, so they're going to go over what they're doing. That's the ones that's looking at the satellite images to determine what's irrigable and non-irrigable and which is will require livestock or not. So it's going to be interesting to see what their actual numbers come up with. And on March 9th, which will be before our next meeting, is the annual water supply and demand assessment workshop for the urban water suppliers on how they determine if they're going to add any new inputs or data to that as well. So I'll be attending that. And the dashboard I'll give to you guys with the information and monthly reporting updates. And if I can meet with the GM and management analysis to go over some of those numbers too, because some tie into the debt policy that we'll be doing. And we can pass that over to Kelly so she can add it.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, Cindy, you have anything?
Just a couple. I'll be attending the cross-connection control stakeholder work group that's being put on, that's coming up on February 20th. Down at the State Water Resources Control Board's hearing room, so we can keep a finger on that pulse of what they're doing with the guidance handbook that they're developing. Director Saunders and I have a quarterly town hall that is scheduled at the Historic Cool Hall on Saturday, March 28th, from 3 to 8 p.m., where we will be putting on a big St. Patrick's Day feast free of charge to anybody that would like to attend, and we will be providing a couple of board meeting summaries at that time. So put that on your calendar and hold that date, and there'll be more details to follow. Like I mentioned, due to some personal issues and caring for my mom, I will not be able to attend the AWWA conference this year in Orlando, so I'll take that off. had on here Mr. Perry Wallace's follow-up and asked the GM to possibly follow up with Mr. Wallace, if you would, please. Mm-hmm. And then we potentially have two, possibly three positions open on the Finance Committee. And in looking back at the notes for the Finance Committee meeting, if I'm recalling correctly, they had asked to post the vacancies from their December meeting. So I'm just wondering if it's possible to move forward with public notice for the vacant positions on the Finance Committee and when and where those might be posted. And that's all I have.
Okay, Dane?
Just a couple things for me. I just attended the chamber meeting last week, just gave an update in the district. I'll be doing my attending my first water agency, county water agency meeting tomorrow morning. So we'll get started on that. And obviously report back to the board on that after the next meeting. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I have nothing. Good morning. Okay, 6A, board reports. Oh, I'm sorry, general manager report.
Yeah, I'll just highlight a couple things in the GM report. One, Kelly's turning that on for some pictures. But before that, there is a new thing I put in the report now is the CIP project report card. Stole the format from San Juan Water. So it just goes through each project and shows target dates for different phases, and then if there's an updated target date for those phases and actual completed dates. And I got some color coding in there, green, yellow, red. So with the pictures, this is, I wanted to show these because this is the project I was talking about a bit ago, the main canal.
Yeah,
I'm good. It was an 18 main canal readily project that Coastland is doing the construction inspection, construction management on. So this has some. Those are some before and after pictures from the same segment there, just to show that. To me, I am over the moon excited about this project. I think people at the office are kind of sick of me showing them these pictures and talking about it. But it's just having been out there and walked it several times during the whole project concept and design phase, seeing it come all the way to final construction is amazing. You see the difference that we can make with some money, and it's just incredible. You see the leaks and where water was pouring out of there before. You had this channel that was full of debris and vegetation and stuff, and now we have a nice concrete lined channel that will minimize leakage and help conveyance. So it's really cool. So,
Steve, can I ask you a question before you advance?
Yeah.
Do we ever get to do tree management so that as these grow, it doesn't cause cracks or seepages?
Well, so tree removal requires a whole environmental review and permitting, and okay. So for this project, we're doing this as a maintenance project, and we didn't deal with that. I think as we identify ones that become hazards later on, we can remove them, but it just added a whole other level of complexity to this project that we weren't frankly ready to tackle. I got some more pictures, so... Kelly, the last couple are really striking to me. Keep going. So this one is one particular spot. These two pictures are from the exact same location where crews have been using sandbags there, concrete bags, and bentonite clay and stuff to try and plug holes where the water was seeping off to the left and eroding away the slope and going down the bank towards Highway 93, and it was kind of a mess. I don't know if the next... Going to the next one is another one. No, that's it. So there, that was before. That's the before, and then the next one is after. Yeah, go all the end.
Go all the way to the end?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. I thought there was one that had the slope. I had one picture that showed like all the water running on the hill. But then this is the same location there. So just that one spot alone is a huge improvement. So I wanted to share that with the board. You will see the notice of completion for that project. And a final report out at the next March, at the March board meeting. So that's just an example of what we can do with these projects. So, and then, yeah, there is this report card that I put together for the CFEs, of just trying to keep the work updated on timing and stuff. So if you guys have questions, I can try and answer them here. If you have feedback, I would encourage you to, I'm not expecting anything right now, but if you have feedback, send them to me, and we'll try and incorporate ideas, concepts. I'm just trying to give you guys some good information so you get an understanding where projects are at in this kind of development cycle. That's my report.
Yeah, obviously, we have water running through it right now, by the pictures.
Oh, yeah. That's the main, this is the main canal that carries water down to the Auberlin Trails Sweetwater Treatment Plant. So it's running all year long.
Good job. So, progress.
I have a question. Are all three sections done, or just the first section?
Yeah, they did the whole thing. That was, and the contract was awarded the whole section, all three sections.
All three phases?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes. Your
I
name, please?
Ask,
your name, please?
My Pat Snelling. Are you monitoring the water quality? Because in the valley, when the water runs through the cement structures, it changes and it affects the pH and the water. So are you monitoring?
They monitor at the plants when the water is treated.
Uh-huh. Watching for that.
We do.
Okay, operations report. Daryl?
The ditch got lined. A bunch of happy customers through there next year that aren't getting flooded out. But I don't know if they're customers, actually. I guess none of them are. They're just going to be happy that they're not getting flooded out.
There's no property owners during, along that ditch that we just did?
Well, there's a bunch of property owners, but they're not water customers.
Not customers.
Got it.
A lot of our trees are.
Well, they're treated water, but they're not irrigation. Yeah. They didn't want it for free. Because it was leaking.
Leaking,
you know, it was a big mess.
Right.
So it's been going on forever. So it's great. Good. This is going to be a biggie. And plus, it just down the, I don't know, roughly 1,000 feet downstream is where the Cabby Grant started a year ago, and we went down 3,000 or 4,000 feet. So there's just a little 1,000-foot section or something like that in between these two. It's a big deal. Not my deal. We'll talk about it some other day, but Adam is figuring out ways to measure our water better in a whole bunch of different locations so we can keep track of exactly what's making it where, what's leaking, how much we're losing, da-da-da. So over the next year or so, we're going to get a good handle on what's come out of Stumpy and what's at the end and where it all went. So it's going to be good. Everything at the plants, as far as my normal report, nothing has changed. You know, everything's going well at the plants. Of course, we're still having a learning curve at the new plant. Occasionally, when weird things happen, they have to figure out. But all's going well. And just want it to rain some more.
Yeah, we all do. Couple quick questions, if you
don't
mind.
Of course, yes. No.
In getting prepared to go to this cross-control workshop, mm-hmm. Can you mentioned here in your report that you have a backflow program. Is that program, or is that the lien you refer, or excuse me, not the lien, the ordinance that you're referring to?
Well, the ordinance kind of is our program. It okay. States how to do it. But we just had to come up with a couple page document that we sent to the state to let them know where we are and what we're doing.
Right.
Because they're the ones, you know, 4 years ago, or was it 5 years ago? It was 2014, I believe, they gave us they said that we had to do so many a year that ended last year, surveys, and finished it last year. It was a 4 year to complete, and we did it. And now we're in the part where, okay, the surveys are done. Now we're sending letters out.
Right. Okay. And Daryl, are you by any chance, are you and Adam planning on going to the cross connection?
I have that on my computer. I wasn't sure I was going to go to that or not.
Adam, do you think you might make it?
I'm not sure.
Okay. If you don't, and I don't see you there, I'll try to get extra handouts for you and bring them back. Since it is, they're working on the guidance document for the workbook that hopefully we can all use. So thanks for that. And can you just clarify for me, Daryl, under maintenance crews, when you say you replaced 14 irrigation box services with pipe services, what does that mean? Does that mean there's no more piece of plywood down?
That's what that means.
Okay.
There used to be an old
piece of
box
that
roughly
had those squares in it.
Well, it wasn't really a piece of plywood, but there was a. We used to use redwood when I first started here. Then I went to that plastic wood, that fake wood stuff, which we were still using.
Yeah.
And it's just a box, roughly a foot in diameter, foot square,
mm-hmm.
and it goes right through the bank. And that's how we send water through. And then on the back, on the customer side, we have a steel plate with a hole cut in it. If it's 1 inch, 2 inches, 3 inches, and we're getting rid of those boxes and just putting a 2-inch pipe through the bank, and using an orifice, depending on the size of whatever the customer's getting,
okay.
We can put an orifice in the pipe. And that regulates their water.
Does that help with maintenance issues.
Yes. The big deal is it helps with those old boxes, even the new boxes. Water can sneak around them easier. They leak. There's problems with them. They're easy to tamper with. We get all kinds of people just like to walk up and lift their lid. So when you walk over there, they're getting half the ditch. You know, it happens all the time. But okay. Pipe services can be too, but they actually have to climb in the ditch, take things apart, you know.
Got it.
That type of a thing.
Okay. Okay. And then lastly, I heard from one of the water customers a few days ago that the crews were up gunniting above her property. And she noticed that when the work was done, she thought it was done well, but she was a little concerned about the Cavy Grant finish, the new gunite meeting, and there being an elevation difference.
Oh.
And the water was ponding when it's low flow, and when it's higher flow, she's assuming that it will go over the top of that with no problems. But she's kind of concerned about ponding or seepage or leakage issues where they overlap.
Well, they were about 1,000 feet apart.
Oh, okay.
They were far from each other. And the ditch is falling consistently the entire time, so that'll never be an issue.
Okay. I wonder what she's talking about then, where they two met each other.
She might have been talking about on the project. Each day they would gunite so far,
okay,
and then stop, and then the next day they'd come back and start, and they'd have a cold joint, and then they'd go again so far, and the next time they came back, maybe she was talking about that.
Okay.
And you see a little bit of ponding. It's never perfect in this kind of a ditch because we didn't pay for that to be perfect, to level it perfectly for exact fall. There's always going to be low spots that, you know.
Right.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Daryl, how come we went out of town to get our cement, not with precast?
We didn't. The contractor did.
Oh.
It's a contract. You have to go to the lowest bidder, and they were the only bidder, but they get their concrete wherever they want to get their concrete. I thought the same thing.
Is that Daryl?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Finance Committee report.
Adam.
Oh, Adam. Oh, sorry.
Adam. I snuck in here real quick. it's the ALT report, the monthly zone report here. Kind of continued from some of the stuff in December. So we cameraed a bunch of lines in the CDS sanitary sewer lines to make sure there was no deficiencies in there, making sure it was all, you know, sealed up. Worked on that a lot. Started the mound sampling. So all the mounds they cycle every 5 years, you sample a well above and below. So we did a set of those this month. We finished up the annual report, which I just submitted about a week ago. So that was, you know, the annual report for them to submit that to the state. And then just continued kind of cleaning the fields, and that's kind of what we did. Not a whole lot of inspections. The flow was under the permanent allowance, so we were good there. Nothing really out of the ordinary, but inspections and some maintenance stuff.
Did you get back to that one person, she's not here today, about the backflow situation she had?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to her. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay, now Finance Committee.
Okay. Finance Committee met, and there's several items. One was the budget review process does not currently include non-operational revenues, such as interest revenues and revenues from hydro. They evidently come in and don't appear in the total revenues picture. That just moves straight into a reserve account, and we're not quite sure why that happens. So that was one issue that was raised. Second one, the audit, the professional audit that we get does not track with GDPUD's budget process. So you're constantly going through the whole audit trying to find out where the number that GDPUD is using it appears somewhere in this audit, and it's quite cumbersome, and we're thinking that maybe in the future we should ask the auditors to either marry their audit report with ours, or at least when they're building the audit, plug in one that runs parallel to what they need so that we can basically look at what we've done and what they say we've done, and it all computes and we can move forward. Right now, it's quite a laborious process to try and track down what's in this category because it's in two different categories someplace else in the audit report. That was another issue. Debt policy, we talked a little bit about that, and we felt that, you know, the board approves capital improvements, but if there's going to be a debt incurred from a borrowing, that the board should also approve the debt process. In other words, look at who's paying, or you know, how much it's going to be, who we're borrowing it from, what the interest rate is, those sorts of things. So in the policy, we thought it was a good idea to include not only approval for the project, but also approval if there's going to be a debt process involved, so that you guys understand, you know, who the loaner is, what we're paying, and what the extent of the loan is, what the deadline, you know, what the completion date of the loan is, just so you have that information in your head and when they project a project and want to borrow money. Now, if the money's in a reserve account, that's a whole different story. You know, you basically take money out of the account, and that's all discussed when you're talking with the project. But if there's a debt involved, we just felt that it should come through the board for approval. And finally, because we're working with data right now that is through last September, the board, or the finance committee, decided to recommend to the board that we maintain the freeze on rates for another 6 months while we take a look at more current data to see how we're tracking in terms of our revenue projections and our expenses in the current year. We were kind of hoping to have that detail in January, and we don't have it. I think it's going to be presented here today, so we're kind of up against a wall. So our recommendation to the board is to maintain the freeze while we have more time to look at data to determine how we're tracking under the current rates with our needs to determine whether or not we need to increase the rates, or at least how we need to increase the rates, or make a recommendation on maybe what the rate structure should be, either what's been proposed all along in the five-year plan, or we do have the opportunity to reduce it. We do not have the opportunity to increase it. And we know that. So we would just like to have data so that we can make a more viable and more plausible recommendation to the board on what we should do with rates. The last thing is, we've had a lot of discussion about, haven't come up to any conclusion yet, but we'd really like to see monthly reports of, knowing full well that they're preliminary, because there's always something that trickles in that has to be changing a number. But if we have preliminaries on a monthly basis, we can track trends, we can track anomalies, we can understand them as we go, so that we're not looking in February, March, and April to try and track back and figure all that stuff out so that we can give you a viable budget. So we would just like to be able to get monthly reports by categories all the way across, just in an Excel spreadsheet, and I volunteered to help put all that together so we're not imposing on the staff. And that's our report.
Are you on? Are you on? Do
you have
anything?
Oh, yeah. The only thing to add is, I'm sure we'll know that.
Are you going to watch Adam?
Sierra's tenure ends, so we just have to get back from her whether she's going to remain or not. We'll have to do that next month as a board to renew her term.
Along those lines, because I did get Tom's email and responded to it, what is the process at the end of a tenure? Do you call for them to be back into consideration, or are they automatically extended if they choose to? There's no current policy. At least I don't feel like I didn't know something, because there's nothing to know. So
I mean, it does say the board can renew a term. That's pretty much all it does say. So there's nothing official that they have to do. All they have to do is say if they want to continue on, and then the board
sure.
Can
renew. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, 7A, review and adopt debt policy required to apply state financing.
Yep, so debt policy, finance committee just mentioned it. So it came up where, you know, everyone knows we're applying for the financing for the automated meters, and part of their requirement was to have a debt management policy in adopted. And that came out at SB, I think it was 1029. In 2017, we don't have one. This was kind of came after the ALT financing project went through for the treatment plant. So we did some research, looked around, we saw CSDA had, had a policy, so we adapted that one for us as, you know, kind of a standard. And we did, took the finance committee, Steve did last week, and they did talk about adding, you know, obviously that any debt issued would go through the board of directors. So we kind of looked at it, and kind of in the back here under internal control procedures, we were thinking adding under one line items there that it would go, put that in there, and obviously whatever, if you're doing like a loan or something like that, it would say, you know, to be approved by the board of directors and all the terms would be in there and whatnot. So this is one more document that we need for the loan of meter, so we're just getting a little bit closer here. For us, we need to see if you guys have documents so we can keep moving forward with that project.